gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late, got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay, I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone, gotta let the people know I'm gonna be late. There was a time when we could dance until 9:45. We never thought it would end then. We never thought it would end. We used to carry on and drink and do the rock and roll. We never thought we'd get older. We never thought we'd grow cold. Across the bubbling waves, and those were happier days. But now, gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late, got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica, and I'm here with sweet birthday baby, Leah.
The best. Max for president.
Today we are talking the Netflix show Russian Doll, starring and co-created by Natasha Lyonne,
who...
What a delight.
Let's just get it out of the way early. Natasha Lyonne is dating Fred Armisen.
You told you, as with all celebrity gossip, you clued me into that, and I am shocked.
I am also shocked. I feel like, yeah, there's a parallel world where Natasha Lyonne's doing better than Fred Armisen. My problem's well documented.
So you're saying that Russian Doll is just an expression of her desire to live on an alternate timeline where she's not dating Fred Armisen?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, she is a delight and a real revelation in this show.
So good. I mean, yeah, I guess we'll just get into it. Her choices in this role, at first, I was like, whoa, that is over the top.
Yeah,
like, she is a beautiful young woman, and she was playing, like, your New York Jewish grandma in this.
Yeah, totally.
But eventually, I found it worked really well. Mm-hmm. I loved her. So, yeah, I guess we should hop into that. I never would suggest not listening to TV on the Radio, but if you haven't watched Russian Doll yet, I really think you should watch it because we are going to spoil everything, and it is a...
Are we, though? Because I still don't really know what that show was about, so...
We'll tell you how it ends, and you will watch the ending and be like, that's not how it ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were they talking about? But yeah, it's an interesting... Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, I'll get it out. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I really love the show.
I really, really enjoyed it. Despite not understanding vast swaths of what the show was about.
I told you in my notes, and I truly felt this way thinking about it the last couple days. Like, in my brain, I had about 65 browser tabs open. And, like, I would just look at each one for 10 seconds before getting hit by a cab and going back to the first one.
Yeah. Falling down the stairs.
Yeah. And, you know, probably part of that was that I literally had 65 browser tabs open in front of me, all like different articles on Russian Doll.
Yeah.
And like, my attention span is such that these days I can't read anything more than, you know, 400 words without opening a new browser tab and diverting my attention for a few seconds. But that experience is sort of like that of watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's she on her 36th birthday,
yes,
our titular, she's not the titular character, but she sort of is, Nadia dies,
mm-hmm,
and finds herself back in the bathroom where the show opened, and this happens over and over again.
Yep.
And when I first read about this show, the only thing I knew about it was that it had that sort of reliving the same day,
mm-hmm,
trope, and it was compared to Groundhog's Day, which,
yeah,
I get that, but that's not really an apt
no.
I guess in Groundhog's Day, I don't remember what the solve was there.
Did it's singular Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Right? Sorry.
I will not have you besmirch National Treasure Bill Murray in some of his finest work.
Yeah, I'm like one of those people who says Barnes and Nobles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I knew I was going to have trouble verbalizing about this show too, mm-hmm, because it just makes me feel a little addled, and it's hard to describe. It's extremely multi-layered. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of like high concept stuff.
Yeah.
There's references to Greek mythology.
Uh-huh.
I also got very sidetracked because early in the show, she thinks that maybe there's some sort of supernatural thing because the house the party's in is formerly a Jewish synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, there's some Jewish mysticism angle. And mm-hmm, I spent all this time Googling, like reading about Kabbalah, and that was a real dead end.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something there, but I didn't find it.
Yeah, it was a Jewish school, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeshiva.
Yeshiva, that's right.
Yeah, but I couldn't find anything. But there's probably something there. I just didn't.
I mentioned to you that I definitely did not feel smart enough for this show, but in a different way than other shows that I have felt like I've missed kind of the central stuff. I enjoyed this in a way that I didn't with other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think you can take away kind of whatever you want from it.
Yeah.
It is very, very multi-layered. And I think, you can just enjoy it without fully like being that ended, and I turned to my husband and I was like, did you understand that? And he was like, I don't think so. And I'm like, neither did I, but I really enjoyed it. Like,
well, what was great about it is that it's very high concept, mm-hmm, but in a way that doesn't feel like it's making up for a lack of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a true,
yeah,
like human story at the core of this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about two people finding each other, and I felt very emotionally affected,
yeah,
by the story, and that is not like lost or glossed over by style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's very accessible and,
yeah,
you know, real to watch.
I think that was our main complaint with Homecoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it felt also like it was kind of high concept, but it felt like there was no real emotion to it.
I didn't really feel attached to it.
Yeah, it kind of left you cold.
Yeah.
And this was like absolutely the opposite of that. It was very much like your Jewish grandma, like,
yeah, yeah,
baking you a babka. Like, it was really warm, had a lot of heart, and like, I think, yeah, there are 8 million messages. This show has launched 12,000 think pieces about,
yeah,
it. You can read nothing but Russian doll stories for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they all have slightly different takes on it. There's like so many levels to the show. But yeah, at the heart, it's like just a warm, affecting human story.
Yeah.
About the relentlessness of being alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a show that I was kind of enjoying but ended up abandoning was Maniac. And I felt like that show was about two people who felt isolated and overwhelmed by life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe it eventually got somewhere real, but that I felt just pummeled by the style of that show, which,
mm-hmm,
was truly beautiful, but I just was like, is anything gonna, like, are we gonna actually get to a human story here, or is just gonna be Jonah Hill looking very sad in a high style apartment? But
skinny Jonah Hill.
Yeah, skinny Jonah Hill. who's fat Jonah Hill is funny. Skinny Jonah Hill is only like, you know, serious drama actor. But you made the observation that this show was created by three women.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode was directed by a woman and written by women. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, I know that we sound sometimes one note here, but made it a great show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, I feel like we, again, if somebody was reviewing TV on the radio, they'd be like, they sort of bludgeon the fact that men are trash.
Women shouldn't be allowed to make radio.
Yeah. But I genuinely think that that is what adds the heart to this show. Like, it does so many things really, really well and enjoyably. The show's funny. The show like, there's a central mystery. There are these big themes being discussed. But there's also, like, I don't know. It's got a lot of other stuff. There's, like, a kick-ass party. There's amazing apartments. It's very stylish. But, yeah, it never loses that real, like, human connection. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I enjoyed it so much, because I felt like, oh, maybe I don't get this. But, like, the show isn't trying to make me feel bad about that. Like, the show...
Right.
Isn't, you know,
everything like, that you, every like mysterious thing or like the symbolism and the references to other works, like it's just a bonus. Mm-hmm. if you get that.
Yeah. You can take from it what you want and you can enjoy it on any of the many layers. Mm-hmm. But I would just like to say that's what women are able to do, guys. Yeah. They can create this like super multifaceted, really enjoyable show. And feel like,
and have an emotional
center. Yeah,
and I mean when it starts, I felt like, oh, this is going to be like an indictment of, you know, these characters who mm-hmm. are you know, I guess rich idle New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. Who it centers around this hedonistic party, but you know, every character ends up having a complexity mm-hmm. to them that is not, you know, just a show that hates his characters.
Yeah. And again, talking about how the women write it, this is also a show that has like extraordinarily strong female characters. And mm-hmm. also kind of not gender reversed, but all the women in this show are way out of fucks. Like, they're like Natasha Lyonne's character is just straight up like absolutely living for herself and saying that she is selfish and being unapologetic about it. Her ex-boyfriend John plays like the needy role. He like really wants to get back with her. He wants her to meet his kid. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of the men in this show are the ones who are like emotionally unfulfilled, and the women are just out there like dealing with everything and just mm-hmm. taking care of their shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Alan, the other main character is, he just wants to settle down and get married to his girlfriend, who is terrible, but he just wants to, you know, settle down.
And he's desperate for structure in his life.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see that too, and really rewarding to see women not just cast in the like, should I have a baby role?
And in a way, you know, he's our male lead, and mm-hmm. she rescues him. Mm-hmm. They're both trapped in this death loop, and he, when we encounter him, like, it's not episode 4. I've gone back. He appears in the background naturally, but we don't actually meet him until episode 4 and find out he's also trapped in this loop. And he's happy to just sort of like go through the same mm-hmm. routine. I mean, he seems completely joyless, but he's not interested in changing it. He mm-hmm. just does the same routine every time.
And he said that he feels safe.
Yeah.
Like, it's safe.
He wasn't trying to change it or find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know men like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a real metaphor for marriage. That is absolutely like every man's like, okay, I'm married. Now I can quit.
Yeah.
Like, let's just play this out every day. Don't mean to make generalizations. A lot of men are not trash. I just, I I wanted to bring that up, that this show, yeah. I actually, I first started wondering about who wrote it because there's a male character, Mike, who is an asshole,
mm-hmm.
who sleeps with Natasha Lyonne, and he's like one of those like droning professor guys who's mm-hmm. like very self-impressed. But then he and Alan have, turns out he's sleeping with Alan's ex-girlfriend or girlfriend mm-hmm. at the time. She was cheating with him. And they have like multiple scenes where they interact and Alan comes after him and yeah. and he like, you know, has all these, he's very like arch and supposedly intelligent, just like loves to hear himself talk and mm-hmm. and then he has these like huge insights that I was like
right.
no man, like no asshole would be this insightful yeah. about himself and certainly not share that insight with right. other people.
When he's confronted instead of like being macho, he says like I'm the abyss that, you know, people turn to.
Like, yeah, like I'm the hole where I'm not it wasn't a choice. I'm the hole. Yeah. I'm the hole where the choice should be. Like, and I was like, a no droning man that I have been trapped at a party with would ever like admit that to another male.
Right.
And yeah, so then I was like, that's also so awesome. Like you had mentioned that there was something about that character that's like mildly attractive.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what it is. It's like right. he's an asshole written by women who have probably been in many, many rooms with like men like that who just, mm-hmm. you know, are lecturing them about art or whatever. And then like they just get to write like how that man should be self-actualized. Right. Like that's attractive.
Yeah.
Like him having this insight about himself. And I give 100% right. credit for that to a team of female right. writers. I don't
writers
think a man would do
full of
that.
Women would, of course, be the ones who, like, well, we can't, like, write a character that we loathe as much as, like, an actual man.
Yeah.
We have to give him something to,
yeah.
To like about him. Yeah. So, in lieu of, like, an actual structure, I just have, like, a list of themes to talk about, so apologies that this is not as organized as one of the many think pieces you will treat yourself to over the next week after watching this show, but I'm just going to go down a list. So the show is called Russian Doll.
Uh-huh.
I'm not adding anything to the discourse. Forget it. I don't want to talk about that.
What? Go
I
for
mean,
it.
It's obvious. Right? So, like, she keeps coming back to life after dying, and like I guess the idea is we're trying to drive toward what the actual truth is, like find out what it is mm-hmm. that's causing her to be stuck in this loop. And each time she comes back, there are things missing,
mm-hmm.
like in a Russian doll where there's less detail in each one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
See, this is why I wanted to skip it. It's so not insightful to talk about.
No, I had not made that connection. I think that,
well, I didn't make it. I'm sure I read it on, like, Vulture or something. just a disclaimer, like, none of these are my original thoughts. Okay, this is skipping around. But video games are a very interesting sort of motif.
That yeah, appear. She's a video game developer.
She's a coder. And at some point, she thinks that, like, this is a bug in the code. Mm-hmm. And it's causing a glitch in this, like, level or whatever. And there is like the extended this idea, you know, like in a video game, when you die, you mm-hmm. go back to the beginning of the level
yeah.
and try to play it again. And that's sort of this theme that is running throughout the show. And speaking of things that are not my original idea, someone on Reddit pointed out. So at the end, when there's almost nothing left in the world, and she walks into the party and only Maxine is there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no furniture. There's no food. It's just Maxine like dancing mm-hmm. weirdly and talking kind of cryptically. And someone pointed out that at that point, Maxine had become a non-playable character in the game, which is like, you know, mm-hmm. when you're, I'm not a gamer also, so I haven't played video games since about Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, so but who still, would like, that be in Donkey Kong?
Yeah. Well, like in Zelda, like this is going back to the 80s. Like you, I mean, not Zelda. anyway, you encounter these characters mm-hmm. who are just sort of like, they're not very complex. They mm-hmm. say a couple words, but it's not like they join your adventure. Like, you could play as that character.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
she asks Maxine, like, please come with me. And she says, I can't. And mm-hmm. it was sort of cryptic. And then when I read that, it made complete sense. Like, mm-hmm. she is this simple, very, you know, non-playable character. And
yeah.
I know, I understand that that term now has like political means and conspiracy theory, and I don't understand what it means. So don't at me about that.
Yeah. I don't understand anything about video games.
Nor do I. So there's also, I think the last episode, or maybe the penultimate, I think it's the last episode, is called Ariadne, mm-hmm. who was the, in Greek mythology, she was like the keeper of the labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like all these kids were sacrificed to the Minotaur in the labyrinth. Here, every now and then, and when her BF was sent to the labyrinth, she gave him a sword and a string
mm-hmm.
to fight the Minotaur and then find his way back out of the labyrinth. And I feel like we're to understand Nadia as Ariadne. I mean, obviously, they kind of hammer that point home.
Yeah.
And so is that her rescuing Alan? What's a sword is what I'm asking. Don't worry, we're going to get to the animal metaphors
cigarette.
After this. Oh, interesting.
I don't know what the sword is. Yeah. Okay. I don't know anything. I really don't understand anything about the show, but I enjoyed it. Also, I would like to say I'm looking at something here, and they say this article I read said Groundhog's Day type 5. So maybe it is called Groundhog's Day. Sorry,
I'm just controversy erupts on TV on the radio.
Like, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Groundhog's Day.
No, it's called Groundhog Day. I'm correct.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. The 1993 film starring Bill Murray is called Groundhog Day.
What's the holiday called? Is it Groundhog Day?
I don't know.
Groundhog's Day. Valentine's.
Groundhog.
Day.
I think it is just called Groundhog Day. I don't know. We're off on a tangent. Let's cue up Perry Nielsen and start all over again, Jess. I did see a tweet that somebody overheard on the somebody was walking down the street, and they said, somebody explain what this means. I overheard somebody say it's like Groundhog Day but for women, and there were like 12 million responses that were like, it's Russian Doll, you should watch Russian Doll. somebody overheard that on the street. Groundhog Day but for women.
What a delight to like have a tool to solve that. Because, you know, 20 years ago, if you overheard that,
yeah.
it would just ruin your life.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like wondering what that is.
Yep. So, yeah, that'll be on the DVD release, I'm sure. Russian Doll, Groundhog Day, but for women.
Some lady.
Yeah, I don't know. There is the Jewish mysticism. That's a big part of it. There is past lives. There's alternate timelines. There's there's science. There's religion. There's mythology. It has everything. The show has everything.
So there's a scene when she goes to the synagogue to ask the rabbi about about the school that mm-hmm. is now an expensive New York loft. And it's kind of a weird extended thing where she's not allowed to see the rabbi, so she has to get her ex-boyfriend to go talk to him, and she ends up talking to the rabbi's assistant, Shifra,
mm-hmm.
and they both sort of get this unexpected reassurance, I guess, mm-hmm. in different ways. Like, John ends up asking the rabbi about all these his personal problems, and the rabbi encourages him to, like, you have to be open to the abyss
mm-hmm.
to, I don't know, get through life or whatever, to find God. And then Shifra offers a prayer to Nadia
for protection.
Like, for protection.
Yeah.
And she assures her that, like, angels are all around us. And that moment is not only, like, these characters kind of take away this unexpected comfort from this encounter, but it's kind of a way to watch the show. You just embrace the abyss.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep faith that angels are all around us. And,
Well, it's also, that part was interesting because Nadia was telling Shifra about how, like, she doesn't seem like she's really into it. into mm-hmm. into like being a rabbi's assistant or her faith or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like it was really interesting that just this ritual, like it's also about the ritual as much as the faith, like yeah. just the actual act of saying or hearing that is reassuring. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know what larger point I'm trying to make with that, but yeah, just the actual act of watching Russian Doll yeah. is reassuring, I guess. I don't know.
It's our version of prayer.
I don't understand this show, guys, but it's great.
I think you do. I think. Okay, so to add a layer of complexity, you sent me an article that posits that this show is actually about gentrification.
Yeah, I...
Which I, at first I was like, mm-hmm.
I actually saw a Twitter thread yeah. about it, and then it... I don't know which came first, the Twitter thread or
I think the Twitter thread did. Yeah. The article was basically just reprinting someone's Twitter thread.
But Natasha Lyonne did weigh in mm-hmm. on it and all of that. And I honestly, Tompkins Square features is kind of where the central yeah. action happens. That's where she's looking for her cat when she initially dies. And there's this sort of like mythical homeless guy.
Mm-hmm. Horse.
Horse. I don't know enough about the Tompkins Square riots. I don't know yeah, enough about the gentrification of the Lower East Side to talk about it. Just read the article, guys.
I'll try to poorly recall the article.
There were riots.
Yeah, this was like the early 90s, I think. It was kind of a gathering place for artists and homeless people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they tried to
clean up
the park, which meant just like kicking everyone out mm-hmm. and there were riots and people were occupying the park and they ended up like deciding to renovate the whole park so that they could close it for a year and sort of force everyone out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the show centers around this place where there was a resistance to gentrification and everyone is sort of a rich idol artist, mm-hmm. but like in a kind of, I mean, they don't give us a lot, but you know, Max, who's awesome, talks about how she's very interested in plagiarism as an art form and it's sort of like this blatant like the like vapid $1 million loft New York loft version of artist.
Yeah,
like, an artist now is someone who has a trust fund.
Yeah,
and we've erased that history. And Horse, the homeless man, describes himself as a shadow and it's like that's what's left of the New York art scene in the because of the ravages of capitalism is just a shadow of mm-hmm. its former self. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Horse at one point also said like what he's describing when he dropped out of society. And I think he presents as mentally ill. We're not to take his word, mm-hmm. but he says, my friend and I were developing the dark web or something.
Yeah.
He just decided to like get out of there. Yeah. So there, that's the show. There's a lot.
There's a lot to work with.
And like I said, it's great because it feels like anything like that is a bonus. And the Natasha Lyonne and was it Headland or who were reacting to this Twitter thread?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, my God, like, get out of my head. Mm-hmm. And it's like they didn't intend for people to necessarily notice this. It's not central yeah. to your enjoyment of the show.
Yeah.
And none of that stuff is really. It's like, yeah. Anyway, let's do a song, and when we come back, we're going to do a segment that we do every week called Leah Explains the Animal Metaphors to Me.
We're going to, it's actually going to have a crossover with Greatest Actor of Our Generation segment that we do every yeah. week also, so stay tuned for that here on TV on the Radio.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few minutes. If you have thoughts about Russian Doll, please tweet at us. We're at BFF TV on the Radio. We would love to hear what you thought about the show. Погонами иконами нам замещают стропоны. Мизулина упорно запрещает гандоны. Агония спазм, стук падающей короны. У страны похлеще, чем Анна о неврозы. Дума бездумно, бездарны законы. Нет экономики или обороны. А есть Лубянка, лагерь, наручники, заборы. Бастрыкин, Сечин, жулики, воры. Железные занавесы, кормушки, щеколды. СИЗО, коридоры, решек, аккорды. В стране авангарда унылые морды, уроды. В Мордове оттачиваю гонор. Сухбич пакет в Столыпинском вагоне. Надзирателей морды. Органы, 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 органы. Органы в рясах и органы в погонах. Органы, органы, органы.
Погоны в головах и погоны на зонах. Тополь М президенту замещает орган. Свобода больше не более лучше не свобода. И когда вместо хуёв вводят танки в город, я отказываюсь быть протоном. Театр закончился, начались войны. Я бабушка, которой пришили органы. Впрочем, в пизду, господа из органов. Отрицаю вас, ваши путинские жаргоны. Никогда не знаешь, какой твой прогон станет последним стоном. Органы, 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 органы. Органы в рясах и органы в погонах. Органы, 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 органы. Органы, зажигая бигфордов.
Welcome back to TV on the Radio. That was Pussy Riot with Organs. And speaking of pussies, oatmeal.
Yeah. Flawless, cat. That guy. Flawless.
That cat was so cute. He looks, he's just a little like floppy, tiny cat.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Animal actors are really having a moment.
Yeah, I think oatmeal is destined for the, you know, to be alongside Nacho and Grandpa in the Animal Actors Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That we are starting a GoFundMe for.
Yeah. We are the founding members of the Animal Actors Hall of Fame. We actually did get a tweet from Alyssa. Alyssa, thanks so much for listening. And she said, I thought I understood Russian Doll, but now listening to your discussion of it, I realized just how little of it I understood. And then she said, thanks for not playing that Nielsen song again, by the way.
That would have been funny slash annoying, which we are not above, but I didn't really want to hear it again since I've now heard it like 75 times.
Yeah. But I think that's really the amazing thing about the show is that we can all have like many, many takeaways from it, and it's nothing's wrong. Like,
yeah.
You can take what you want from it. And that's really what I enjoyed is that the show doesn't seek to like push you in one way.
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. Like, it gave me so much more than I need or expect.
Yeah,
I eight episode.
Yeah, show, I've really thought about it for days since I finished it, and I've gone totally back and forth on what I myself thought the ending meant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
let's talk about animals for a moment.
Okay. But I do want to circle back to that. Yeah. Chicken. Max at the party.
Yeah.
Every time we re-enter the party, she's mm-hmm. making her chicken,
yes.
which we find out toward the end she bought the chicken at the bodega, which I thought was funny. This is actually where I got the chicken.
Yeah, there's also another one of the times that she goes back. She's like, I'm going to make everyone another chicken.
Yeah.
Does everyone want another chicken?
Would you guys
chicken?
Eat more chicken?
Yeah.
Nadia, when she's hungover, drinks a raw egg, which disgusting. At one point, she rummages a rotisserie chicken out of Ruth's fridge, mm-hmm. and then at one point dies choking on a wing.
Chicken.
A chicken wing. And I was thinking about the egg and the chicken and how that's like...
Which came first?
I started writing stuff, and then I was like, what the fuck am I talking about? like, chicken and egg is like a birth-life thing, mm-hmm. but maybe in this sense, it's like a death trauma thing. I was like, I need to go to bed. But yeah, that's as far as I got on the extended.
It's also like something inside
metaphor.
Of something, but which
oh my
is
God,
first,
yes.
like the Russian doll
there
thing.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. We're blowing this wide open here on TV on the radio. Natasha Lyonne, get at us.
Okay, so I guess we'll circle back to chicken later. Fish. Maxine has two fish.
Mm-hmm.
Alan has a lonely bed of fish in a lonely tank.
No, nope, bettas aren't lonely.
So
they have to be isolated. They'll
I
kill
know,
other fish.
Still.
They want to be by themselves, Jess.
So are we to believe that the betta fish is happy? One must imagine.
Yeah, my
is
I had
a fish happy.
I had a betta named Gavin that threw himself down the disposal.
Gavin.
Jumped out, threw himself down the disposal.
Is dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Gavin. He was a good beta too. Take a moment, pour it out.
So Nadia comes out of the bathroom at one point and remarks that the fish not remembering anything is a myth,
mm-hmm.
and she's sort of like cursed to go around in this circle again and again mm-hmm. of death and being, you know, reappearing, except she remembers it every time
and feels it.
Yeah. And then Alan says something to his fish that I feel like it was, he remarked on the fact that they have to be alone or they'll fight to the death, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, are he and Nadia gonna fight to the death?
That really would have been something. It just ends up a literal cage match. Like
there are
just
possibly
chickens
going
watching.
To be two more seasons of this show, so I'm not taking anything off the table.
I don't know if you're all caught up with High Maintenance, but a chicken featured in last week's episode of High Maintenance also. So chickens are having
a
real
moment. Is that
the
Craigslist one?
Yeah.
You're the chicken. I don't remember that. I am enjoying High Maintenance very much, as always.
Yes.
Horse, our... Mm-hmm. resident of Tompkins Square Park is named Horse, and her interactions with him felt a little different every time.
Yeah.
But then so there is the Ariadne labyrinth thing, so I was like, is he supposed to be like a Trojan horse? I came up with nothing on that.
Yeah, I thought one of the things that was interesting in the last episode where she and Alan are in different timelines but they're trying to save each other, also, I would just, this is a tangent, but it just really bothered me. Why didn't they give each other their fucking cell numbers? Like, it's 2018, guys. Just, like, text him. Like, I don't know. Why do you physically have to go to his apartment every time? Couldn't you just be like, meet me here? Like, I don't know.
Who knows what,
the
like,
lack
AT&T
of...
will come up with to yeah. charge you if you text someone in an alternate timeline
true,
in the
true,
universe.
True.
You get
yeah.
a fucking
message not
$100,000
yeah.
bill.
But anyway, they're in different timelines, and all of her interactions with Horace had been, like, sort of, like, there was a weird, like, flirty kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm,
there was,
yeah.
But it was all about, like, going deeper, that central message of, like, addressing trauma and, like,
yeah.
going deeper. And he was always alone. And then with Alan, he was like a lot more predatory. Like
yeah.
he takes Alan back and there's like a big group of people
mm-hmm.
there. And he's like, hey, have you got any more money? And like, he never asked Nadia for anything. She always gave
yeah,
him
yeah.
freely. gave everything to him freely. And with Alan, it was like a lot more predatory. And then I was like, is that something to do with Alan wanted to die and like horses of ferryman type?
Yeah.
I don't know. Alan proposed to him and like fully embraced that and then was like consumed and like taken by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. But I thought that for a minute. I was like, they're both dead at the end of the show, but now I don't think that anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, you suggested that to me and I thought, yeah, the ferryman thing like across the river.
They're coming literally under a bridge
with a parade that had a lot of death imagery
with
in it.
Yeah, like a Day of the Dead parade mm-hmm. behind them, and like she looked a little stunned, I think, when they handed her the light, and
yeah.
Alan was like jubilant, and I was like, is that because he's like embraced that he's finally dead? Like, was it purgatory? I don't know.
Yeah. So in that same article about gentrification, someone pointed out that the parade at the very end mm-hmm. very much looked like the Bread and Puppets Theater, mm-hmm. which I guess was a Vermont thing in the 60s or 70s. And it was this like radical puppet theater that was political commentary. And I was like, great, now I'm going to have to read about fucking radical puppet theater all afternoon. This show's taking me the labyrinth.
And then
man,
we ended up getting confusing. Tickets for Avenue Q. So we're just down a whole puppet thing now. So thanks for that, Natasha Lyonne.
Have you seen Avenue Q?
I have not.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah. I saw a production of it in Bend, Oregon, which I did not expect to be, you know, very good, well-produced theater with, like, I don't know if, like, you put on Avenue Q and they send you the puppets or whatever, but it was, like, puppets were great. It was very funny. I had some problems with the messages, but overall, I recommend Avenue Q. Okay, so I guess that's all the animals. Cockroach has come up. Cockroach. You're a cockroach.
Yeah, there is much discussion on Twitter about her pronunciation of
cockroach.
Cockroacha as like a four-syllable word, basically. Yeah. And the consensus seems to be that that's what New Yorkers say.
Really?
Yeah, that's what my Twitter told me. Twitter wouldn't lie to you.
Okay. Well, food is another thing that is thrown in our faces, not literally, but so to transition to that, Kat's name is Oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
On rewatching the first episode, Maxine's fish are ketchup and mustard.
Oh.
Now, food comes up. Maxine, being the coolest friend ever, is throwing this amazing birthday party for Nadia, and also like has made a cake and is making a chicken, as she says over and over again. It seems incongruous to me, although if you told me that like that's what cool like New Yorkers do is like have these hedonistic parties where there's also like a Baskin Robbins cake, chicken, like
Carvel,
like, oh my god,
cake.
That's so cool. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Fudgy the whale. Another animal food crossover. But yeah, there's all this food. And then there's this thing that I never quite wrapped my head around that happens throughout the show. Like, the world is changing every time she comes back and that, like, details are disappearing. But also the food is starting to rot. Like, mm-hmm. there's rotten fruit on everyone's
But
countertop.
Then it's fresh on the inside.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a parallel time thing. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's not worth it to get bogged down in like the technical details.
I took that more as a like, you're running out of time to address this trauma and like get out of this loop before absolutely everything is gone, mm-hmm. like including them. Like at some point they're going to die for real unless they accept help from each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but the amazing thing is I'm not bothered by any of that. Like, I just, again.
Yeah, and that's an interesting analog for the show, because I feel like the message is, like, you have to, you know, face the trauma inside of you. You have to look into yourself for the truth
mm-hmm.
and embrace the abyss,
mm-hmm.
you know? You have to be okay with the fact that life is horrible.
Yeah, but basically. Also you do need other people is like one of the central messages, is that like you can address your own trauma, but you need to be able to like expand to help other people and like put it into action in the world.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, really is.
All right, I don't anything else to say about so a couple things. I was reading this Vulture article about the quote-unquote Easter eggs in the show, and I felt I had a beef with their definition of Easter eggs, because a thing that it's just a thing that appears in the show that shows up later is not an Easter egg.
No, it's not.
But they
Easter
did
eggs
out,
are supposed to foretell something, right?
That's like foreshadowing. But yeah, an Easter egg I feel like is usually like a reference to a separate thing.
Yeah, but it's a hint at something else, like that you're supposed to put together, right?
Not, like, I wouldn't necessarily call that an Easter egg. I feel like, what's an Easter egg? I don't know. Like the last...
An Easter egg is food. So
there you go.
Once again, it all circles back to food. But food does play a huge part in it. I mean, Nadia has an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Alan, on his last day, obsessively eats a giant slab of cake.
Yes.
He like eats a lot of desserts for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. There's when the two times she goes to see Lucy, John's daughter, she's just sitting there not enjoying her pancakes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people not enjoying food. She chokes on the chicken. So I don't, what does food mean? Oh, when we flash back to her as a child with her crazy mentally ill mom played by Chloe Sevigny, there's a very strange caper where they're like going to all the bodegas in the neighborhood buying all the watermelons. And then, like, her mom's making her eat watermelon.
Yeah, it's a diet thing, I think. I don't know. Because then
maybe
you
that's
hear
why
her
no
mom,
one enjoys...
like, binging and purging.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
On all the watermelon.
Oh, I
And watermelon's, like, a... I was going to say watermelon's a well-known diet food.
That does seem like it would be a fad diet. And that was supposed to be 1991, but it seems like a 70s thing. Like, the watermelon diet. The watermelon and cigarette diet.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just going to be us being like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what I was going to say about the Easter eggs. This is not an Easter egg, but this article did point out that the three guys, the medics and the ambulance, her coworkers, the code bros, and then the three guys who came drunk into the bodega and asked her, like, and she told them to, like, turn left at Disneyland or whatever. Same three actors.
Really?
Yeah. Which is just so awesome to be, like all bros look the same. To
yeah.
Us, so just cast the three.
And I did not
actors.
Notice that.
I didn't
either, at all.
But
that's amazing.
Yeah. And then when Horse lures Alan into his, whatever that's supposed to be, lair. The one of the people who was there was the woman who was trying to steal his shoes at the shelter.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does it all mean, guys?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. So something I thought was fun. This is just a funny way to illustrate how uptight Alan was. But part of his routine was exercising, like lifting weights and doing crunches. And I was like, if I knew I was stuck in a death loop that was just repeating, I would not be exercising.
Yeah, same.
Cake, yes. Exercise, no.
Yeah, I feel like I would try to have a little fun with it before I tried to figure it out.
Oh, totally.
Right? Like, you would just do different wacky stuff every day, right? Like, just...
Totally.
Try to, yeah.
Yeah.
Do all
eat
the
some
stuff.
Weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dine and dash.
This is a good thought exercise. It's like if you had $1 million, what would you do? If you were stuck in a death loop, like, what would you do with your day? That's probably what we should do with our day.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You posed this question, so I'll throw it back at you first. What song would you be happy to listen to every single day of your potentially interminable purgatory?
Oh, so Alyssa had said, she also said the mom with the watermelon too. So yeah, we earlier missed talking about watermelon as food. So she said, don't play that Harry Nilsson song again.
Yeah.
I think that song was the perfect choice. Like, it is peppy, it's short, it's, I don't know. I feel like if I wanted something in that vein, like something that would, I don't know, keep me going, every day it would be Mr. Blue Sky would be mm-hmm, my first choice. Mm-hmm. But then also just like if I wanted something a little more down tempo, like maybe 8 Ball by Waxahachie, I could listen to that slide part every day. Or something by Car Seat Headrest, I think. They'd be good. They have that, like he has that energy too.
Yeah,
that,
the
like,
same sort of like upbeat mm-hmm. songs about dark subject matter. Yeah. Yeah, it works so well in this show, that like sort of dissonance you feel between the sound of the song and the like darkness of her dying over and over again.
Yeah, the soundtrack of this show is very, very heavily like EDM-y mm-hmm. also. So like rave kind of feel like a constant party, like your last day is like, yeah, I don't know, interesting.
Yeah, I read somewhere that like a huge part of the budget for the show was that song. Like they had to pay a lot for it because they used it so many times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't you think it'd just be like punch card, like after a certain amount of time?
Yeah, the
like,
10th one's free.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I find this a very difficult question because that's the problem with like purgatory is everything starts to feel like a punishment after a while. Like even burritos I really like after a while. And so I'd like to think that, you know, I would pick something that would feel that's complex and would feel like very revelatory for at least a few years. Like, you know, Alan's was like Beethoven's Concerto No. 4 or something. But if I'm being honest with myself, I think it would be like Get Lucky.
There you go.
That's I
a classic. That
or
classic
Hey Ya.
Banger.
No one's ever sad to hear Hey Ya. I feel like I just put a curse into the universe. Here comes my purgatory.
Yeah.
This was your question also. If somebody came to you and started revealing shit that you hadn't shared with anyone and they said they knew you from a parallel universe, how long would it take you to believe them?
Yeah. So I think we're both on record as being generally skeptical assholes, right? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of surprised. My husband actually posed this question to me when we were watching. And I was like, I don't know. I think like 3 minutes, like real quick. I mean, obviously, and I think it kind of like that's one of the things the show is like about, kind of this like resilience, like this mm-hmm. need to live or whatever. And I think that deep down too, like everybody, you're agnostic, you're skeptical, you're whatever, like, but I think everybody has like a desire to want there to be magic mm-hmm. or supernatural stuff in the world. And yeah, I think I would flip real quick.
That's interesting. I don't know, because I on one hand I am gullible and I tend to take people at their word, but on the other hand, like, I have worked actively to suppress that.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
Because, you know, we live in a town full of creeps and grifters. Yeah. As a woman, like, I'm always leery when someone starts talking to me because it's like countdown to sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And yeah, even if someone like was telling me stuff that only I knew, I'd be like, this motherfucker hacked my Gmail password. Like, fuck. I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever break through to like trusting another human. Yeah. I'd be stuck in that loop for a long ass time.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the message of the show is like trusting someone else and like going with that.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
Damn. It's hard. It's hard, guys.
Yeah, anything else? I just want to reiterate in case we didn't say emphatically enough that Maxine is the greatest character in the history of television.
She's great.
She's a fucking ride or die friend.
Yeah.
She will make you a chicken for your birthday party. And that scene where
she will give you a joint laced with cocaine like the Jews do it. Is that
like one of those Israeli joints?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the scene where Michael comes up to her and like they're looking at her art collection and he says something like, have you ever wondered why like the nature of art hasn't changed in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And she says, I've literally never wondered that. It's just like that. It sums up how to talk to pompous men so perfectly. I loved her very much. And that was Greta Lee. I want to see her in everything.
She's
a lot
great.
Of delightful, like she's not really a side character, but like a lot of the, you know, characters that pop up very briefly are wonderful.
Yeah, her, all of them.
Her drug dealer, War Dog, which is a great name for your drug dealer. That actor's name is like, I'm gonna fuck it up, but it's like Warris or something, so that uh-huh. probably came from that. But that guy, he's 45 years old, looks fresh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else did we? Oh, we didn't even talk about Farhan, the deli owner, who
beautiful deli owner
show.
Co-owner of Oatmeal.
Yeah. Aspiring novelist. I googled that guy and I thought I'd seen his face in something, but I don't think I've seen anything else he's been in.
Yeah,
he's not been in a ton of stuff.
Very handsome.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, A++. Would do business. I'm going to make an early prediction that this is going to be in my top five shows of 2019.
It's really, yeah. It was really, really good. And yeah, a lot to unpack. I also read that this show was originally intended to be 3 seasons. So
yeah.
I don't.
I saw that in quite a few places that it was pitched as 3 seasons. I haven't seen confirmation that it is going to be produced, that 2 more seasons are going to be produced.
I'm sure it will be. Netflix is just backing up a truck of money to anyone anything that they will watch.
I wouldn't guess anything specific, but I would guess that it's going to take a huge left turn, you know, or do something really wild.
Can I also say one of the things I really, really enjoyed about this, even though, Nadia and Alan are like two very different types of people. And even though they do have sex, it's kind of just for something crazy to do.
Yeah.
And I love,
I really like that scene.
I really like that too. But, and that's part of like what you do your last day, right? You're like, none of this matters anyway. Okay, mm-hmm. let's go ahead and have sex. But I love that it's about, like, again, I think that's key, that women, I think that's how women would tell a story, that it's about like human connection and not about romantic connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that transcends, like, it's great that it wasn't that they're like meant to be together.
Yeah.
They were stuck in this loop together just because they died at the same time.
Hmm.
Who would you like to be stuck in a loop with? Who would you like to die with at the same time, Jess?
With you, Leah.
Let's just go out. Thelma and Louise style, guys. Except we'll just...
That would be a fun thing to do if you were stuck in a
in your loop? Yeah. I would totally come up with, like, different ways to die. Like, yeah, you'd get all the real dangerous shit out of the way first. Mm-hmm. And then just, like... And that's the
and
other thing
to,
that
like,
was interesting.
And just go to, like, an expensive spa and be like, how am I going to die here?
Yeah. Nadia was killed multiple times falling down the stairs. Not by falling off the fire escape, which I found
that seems much
implausible.
More
and then I was like, just scooch down on your butt. Like, I don't, just like it's not that style. Hard. Yeah, just go backwards, slide down the stairs. You'll be fine. But I did love that it was them saving each other was not in any way about romance. It was, you know. And again, I credit that to a room full of women who are like, it's about human connection. He just happens to be this like boring guy. Yeah. You know, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we could keep talking about this show, but continue to give you no more insight. Yeah. So I guess we'll end it there.
You should watch it for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Watch this show.
Let me know if you think they're really dead. Let me know if you think that they're... You know, I don't know.
If you figure anything out about what the mango means.
What are you going to do when you get out of the parade? Mangoes. Like, where are they parading to? I don't know.
Your suggestion that they were parading down to the underworld sounds as plausible as anything else. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, we're going to talk about Dirty John, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting back to Trash Man.
Yeah.
Our streak remains unbroken. Yeah. Well, it's broken a little bit, but.
Yeah, we talked about the Super Bowl. No Trash Men there. Yeah, so join us to talk about Dirty John and have a great Sunday. And stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio.
Yeah, I heard a funny thing. Somebody said to me, you know that I could be in love with almost everyone.